At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. Let me tell you what is to come, because there was no red wave on Tuesday. Donald Trump is wounded. And the right-wing establishment, which loved him Tuesday morning, is turning on him Thursday morning. The front page of today's Murdoch tabloid, The New York Post, has an illustration of Trump as an egg atop a wall. And in big block letters, there is the inevitable caption, Trumpty Dumpty. Donald Trump will respond with his only two emotions, rage and the thirst for revenge. He will declare his candidacy as planned next week, no matter how it will hurt the Georgia runoff. He will step up his attacks on Ron DeSantis. He will call all his opponents rhinos. He will be indicted in January. He will call the indictment political persecution. He will note DeSantis's morph into a Jesus freak. He will attempt to go further than that. He will claim God told him only he can save America. He will keep running, even if his trial has already started. And DeSantis? He will also run. He will drop hints, maybe as early as Trump's declaration next week. He will let the anticipation build. He will let the pundits switch to him. He will only announce later in the winter or even spring. He will position himself as sane and Trump as crazy, himself as dedicated to others in the party, and Trump as dedicated only to himself. He and Trump will spend the rest of 2023 beating each other up. He and Trump will then spend the debate season of 2023 beating each other up. He and Trump will then spend the primary season of 2024 beating each other up. And it is only then that it will get interesting, because the Republican Party will have taken all they learned from Trump. They will have stolen it from him, refined it, taken it some extra steps, and they will deny Trump the nomination by hook or by crook. And then, barring the unforeseen, the 2024 presidential election will be Joe Biden versus Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump as an independent. You know that is what a thwarted Trump would do. You know it. If there was any reason to doubt it, that gleeful tweet from Tuesday night about the Republican he did not support, Joe O'Day, losing the Colorado Senate seat is your reminder that while Trump once understood, although he did not like the fact that he was in a partnership with the Republican Party, he has long since left behind that correct assessment of reality. Trump believes Trump invented the world, and the world owes Trump. And the world cannot function without Trump, but Trump can win without the world. November 5th, 2024, Biden, Democratic Party incumbent, DeSantis, Republican Party, Trump is Jesus Party. And the outcome? The scales may have fallen from the eyes of the Republicans, the conservatives, and even some of the fascists. But that does not mean Trump will have been reduced to Jill Stein 2016 or Ralph Nader 2000. It does not even mean Trump will have been reduced to the 13.5% of the vote George Wallace got that wiped out Hubert Humphrey's last chance in 1968, nor even the 19% for Ross Perot in 1992 that threw any doubt about that election to Bill Clinton. It is realistic to suggest that in a three-way battle for the presidency in 2024, that Trump and even the most charismatic of other Republicans like DeSantis could split 52 or 53 or 54% of what would have been the Republican vote. Maybe it's 30 to 23, 28 to 25, or something like the 1912 election in which a similarly magnetic ex-president, and I hate to compare these two men, but in 1912, Theodore Roosevelt, denied the Republican nomination, went out on the progressive third-party ticket, the Bull Moose Party, and he finished second ahead of the incumbent Republican president, William Howard Taft, and all that did was guarantee the Democrats the White House. Woodrow Wilson, 42%, Roosevelt, 27%, President Taft, 23%. Could DeSantis finish second and Trump third? Sure, it's a long time until November 5th, 2024. But you know that even Trump's morbid fear of losing would not stop him from running as an independent somehow, even if he understood it meant also destroying the party that he, in essence, built, and that it would mean keeping the Democrats in the White House. Let's review your doubts. Do you doubt DeSantis will run? Do you really think he made a 2-minute commercial about how God created him on the eighth day? How God made him to be the man who protected the world? Do you really think he made that miniature Bible epic just to run up the score in Florida against Charlie freaking Crist? DeSantis is going for the evangelicals. He started it months ago by ending every speech by imploring the audience to put on the armor of God. That is a quote, put on the armor of God. And for all we know, DeSantis may actually believe he has been anointed. Do you doubt the GOP mainstream didn't just tell Trump it is leaving him? The rest of that New York Post cover reads, Don, who couldn't build a wall, had a great fall. Can all the GOP's men put the party back together again? And it's more than just a humiliating illustration. The Post promises on its cover 9 pages of Trump Republican coverage and writes, analyst John Podhoretz has 2 words why Tuesday was a red trickle. Donald Trump, his terrible candidates, dragged Republicans down. Rupert Murdoch approved this. And there's more on the cover. And now writes columnist Pierce Morgan, it's time for Trump to move on from politics. Inside, Podhoretz's column begins, hey, Lion Ted and Sleepy Joe, meet Toxic Trump. He calls him Toxic Trump 5 times in the New York Post. What Tuesday night's results suggest, he writes, is that Trump is perhaps the most profound vote repellent in modern American history. This is not peak over losing the midterms. This is scapegoating. And from Rupert Murdoch, that is, to expand a phrase I know from somewhere, that is not just burning the bridges, it's napalming them. In fact, it's not just burning the bridges, it's burning the river as well. And every major news outlet with a conservative source threw Trump overboard yesterday. This was the end of the Trump era and the dawn of the DeSantis era. ABC News quoted a Republican operative it says is close to the Trump orbit. Like every other Trump catastrophe, he did this to himself with stupid and reckless decisions. If I did not know better, I would have thought that was said by me. In the New York Times, quote, I strongly believe he should no longer be the face of the Republican Party. That is from the arch-Trump loyalist and longtime New York Congressman Pete King. The rage against Trump is obviously not without basis or merit. In these midterms, the Republicans had on their side the tradition of nearly every White House losing heavily at the midterms, but also Biden's low approval numbers, wild inflation, gas price jumps, supply chain issues, a war in Europe, the residue of the Afghanistan withdrawal, voter caging, pandemic paranoia, gerrymandering, and then the Democratic nominee from Pennsylvania having a stroke and needing electronic help processing speech during the debate. And they lost. And what did all that get them? A margin in the House so small that the Washington Post's Jennifer Rubin observed last night that the Democrats could get 4, although they might need maybe 8, sane Republicans and say, look, if you will vote for her, we will vote for her. And they would then nominate Liz Cheney to be the new Speaker of the House, and they'd probably pull it off. Instead, Kevin McCarthy says he has enough votes to become Speaker. He met with Marjorie Traylor Park Greene last night for 45 minutes, after which he might have thought about running instead for head preschool teacher. It looks like McCarthy will have 224 Republicans. That is not enough to impeach Joe Biden. That is not enough to cut off Ukraine. That is not enough to undermine the security net. That is not enough to shut up the lunatics like Traylor Park Greene, with or without Boebert. If McCarthy wakes up tomorrow morning and endorses Liz Cheney for Speaker, I would only be mildly flabbergasted. In the Senate, all Trump got them was a repeat of 2020. Control likely to hinge on a runoff in Georgia again. A runoff after a general election in which Herschel Walker got 1,906,229 votes. 1,906,229. In the same general election, Georgia's Republican Governor Brian Kemp got 2,109,228 votes. 209,228. That's 203,000 Georgians, nearly all of them Republicans, who did not vote for Herschel Walker. Why on earth would anybody expect all 203,000 of them to turn up for a runoff, another Georgia election, and vote for Herschel Walker when they just refused to? There is at the bottom of all of this always the same issue. The issue of, forgive the use of the term, Trump's slaves, the cultists. For 7 years, he and Fox and Murdoch and Newsmax and every evangelical have been positioning him as the Messiah, and there are tens of millions of Americans whose belief in that is as strong at this moment as it was on Tuesday. But the problem becomes, as it becomes for all the messiahs in all the pages of history, what happens? What do you do when a new messiah opens up a messiah shop down the block, and he does the messiah thing just a little bit better than you do?
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a protector. So God made a fighter God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, kiss his family goodbye, travel thousands of miles.
2 minutes of that. Mark my words. Ron DeSantis is running to be God and the Republican nominee for president in 2024. Trump doesn't care if he's elected God or the devil or is even on the Republican ticket in 2024. He is also running for president in 2024. But only one of them is on the cover of the Rupert Murdoch newspaper this morning, portrayed as a cracked egg. Still ahead. Everything's just fine at Twitter. Just because there's a fake Donald Trump with a blue check mark and a fake LeBron James with a blue check mark and a fake ESPN with a blue check mark. The convenience of timing. A Republican who made fun of the attack on Paul Pelosi apologizes after the election is over. And it is an anniversary for me, both heartbreaking and heartwarming. Indulge me, please. I want to tell you the story of my dog, Mishu. That's next. This is Countdown.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Still ahead on Countdown, Elon Musk says everything will be fine when verification ends on Twitter, and then a fake LeBron James with a blue check mark demands the Lakers trade him and gets thousands of retweets. It's going great, Elmo. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need whom you can help. Every dog has its day. As you will hear shortly, any dog named Spaghetti is family to me. This one is a big, handsome bulldog pit mix, tan and white. He was found in Staten Island, New York, almost dehydrated, almost starved by his humans. with a sweet face and a look of desperation in his eyes. Near and Far Animal Foundation has gotten him and launched a fundraiser for Spaghetti on Cuddly. Any donation will help. You can find Spaghetti on Cuddly, or Spaghetti will be my pinned tweet at Tom Jumbo Grumbo with a link to donate. If you can't donate, a retweet can almost be invaluable. I thank you, and Spaghetti thanks you. Coming up on Countdown, the story of Mishu. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, gonna give you three hints and see if you can guess who the guy is before I say his name. The column is from 2 weeks ago yesterday. The first hint, the title of the column, why the midterms are going to be great for Donald Trump. The second hint, he wrote, all signs are pointing to a strong Republican showing that would result in a switch of party control in the House and possibly the Senate. That's very good news for Donald Trump. And the thing is, there won't be anyone within the GOP willing to step up and question Trump's claims of credit, because he is both the loudest voice in the room and the most popular person in the party. A win for Republicans on November 8th would accrue to Trump's political benefit. So it wasn't a strong showing. It wasn't good news for Trump. Lots of people in the GOP have stood up and questioned Trump's claims, and it has not accrued to his benefit. Who could get that much wrong in one short column? Who else but CNN's Chris always bet against him, Saliza? The runner-up, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, at a rally for a Republican, who lost, by the way, a rally on the day that Paul Pelosi was attacked during the attempted assassination of Nancy Pelosi, Youngkin said, there's no room for violence anywhere, but we're going to send her back to be with him in California. The Republican crowd cheered his joke about a stochastic terrorist attack. That's what we're going to do. Yesterday, Pelosi's office revealed it had received an apology from Governor Youngkin, and Youngkin told Huffington Post he intended to say political violence was never acceptable, quote, and I didn't do a great job with that. The Speaker's office said the apology has been accepted and good for her. She is a bigger person than I am. I would note here that Youngkin had 11 days to apologize, but those 11 days were before the election, and he didn't apologize. That exploiting the attack on Pelosi was to his and the Republicans' political advantage before the election. So that's why he didn't apologize before the election. That's just a coincidence, no doubt. Ass clown. Governor Ass clown. But our winner, Elon Musk. The bad news, nobody has any idea what he's doing with Twitter. The worst news, clearly he has no idea what he's doing with Twitter. In a span of hours yesterday, Musk introduced his new own version of verification called Official, then he deleted it. He scrapped it. He later told advertisers that he compares the tweets of users who will not buy a blue checkmark from him to spam emails. You pay $8 or your tweets pretty much vanish in the ether. He also said he really wants Twitter to become a way to make payments. Tweeters could link their online bank account to Twitter. Twitter would offer, quote, extremely compelling money market accounts to get extremely high yield on your balance. And eventually he would make Twitter debit cards. One reporter phrased the blue check elimination of verification thusly, Musk's whole idea seems to be that people won't do bad things, impersonation or hate speech, if they're risking $8. Within hours, a fake ESPN account with a blue checkmark tweeted that the Las Vegas Raiders football team had fired its coach. A fake LeBron James account with a blue checkmark tweeted that he was requesting a trade by the LA Lakers. And a fake Rudy Giuliani account with a blue checkmark tweeted that he had just defecated. None of these things were true. Maybe the Giuliani one. The site The Intercept notes that since Musk's bid to buy Twitter went public on April 14th, Tesla's stock price has fallen 46%. And Elon Musk's company is now worth a little less than it was that morning. It's worth $500 billion less than it was that morning. Elon, but I'm rich. I must be infallible. Musk, today's worst person in the world. To the number one story on the countdown and my favorite topic, me and things I promise not to tell. And this is not a career story this time. It is a dog story about Mishu. It has been a year. I think I can get through this. As I've mentioned before, I never had a dog until 2012. I was allergic as a kid, still am, to big fur dogs. And I was repeatedly warned by my allergists that hypoallergenic dogs weren't really a thing. And if you had a minor reaction to the hair of a poodle or a Westie or a Maltese, you were lucky. And if you didn't, you'd have heartbreak. In fact, I had almost no reaction at all. I was blessed. And I was blessed by the opposite of heartbreak. And I rapidly realized, after getting my first dog, Stevie, that I had wasted the first 53 years of my life. So I've tried to make up for it. My gal Stevie and I just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of having adopted one another. Rose's birthday is next month. It'll be her 9th. I had often looked into getting a third dog, and I had gotten heavily involved in rescue work. And then in 2018, the paths crossed. I got a call from a woman I met at a pet food store. And she became my friend Sue Levitt, who runs the rescue part of the American Maltese Association for much of the Northeast. And Sue said, we have something special and challenging, and if you don't want to do it, understood. He's a three-month-old Maltese pup with a terrible, terrible heart condition, and they are not sure that he will make it past 10 months. And I thought about it for about 5 seconds, and I said yes. And soon, spaghetti was in my apartment trying to boss Stevie and Rose around, and I knew he needed to stay, and I knew one other thing, he needed a new name. Spaghetti. Spaghetti. Getty? Teddy? Ted. My dad's name. Perfect. I was so prepared for the worst, though, with Ted, that it was July, and I did not buy him any stuff for winter. Until I took him to the Animal Medical Center here in New York, and the cardiologist, Dennis Trafney, said, he's got a heavy valve in his heart. If we don't do anything, he's got 5 to 7 years. My ears perked up. Then he said, with medication, 7 to 10 years. But I can operate, he added, and probably give him a normal lifespan, or at least close to it. I thread this filament that I'm holding in through his jugular vein and into his heart, and then I stop his heart electrically for 3 seconds. And see this push button here? I push this button on the filament, and the other end of the filament is a tiny balloon, and it pushes the valve open in the heart, and you keep doing this as long as he can stand it, and it's like knocking the rust off a hinge on a door by just opening the door again and again. And I said, I don't see any filament. And he said, sorry, and he moved it in front of a black background, and there it was, about half the width of a hair. And I said, great. And then I said, but why did they think he wouldn't make it past 10 months? And he said, well, if you're a vet, you might see this condition once in your entire career. I operate on it 3 times a month. Ted is now 4.5 years old. He is a 4.5-year-old boy in a dog's body. On our walks, Ted flirts with all the human girls. He barks at all the other dogs and then goes up and says hi to most of them. He has a series of enemies: the printer, the plunger, the thunder, and at least a dozen television commercials. The operation went so well that they were an hour late giving him back to me because, as the surgical resident said, he had to do all the tests a second time because he was worried he had screwed up the first set of tests because the results were too good. If I could have gotten luckier, given the prognosis with which Ted arrived, I don't know how I could have gotten luckier. So, when my friend Sue from Maltese Rescue called last summer, August of 2021, and said, I have a really, really tough case now, and I don't think there's a chance that there's some sort of unexpectedly positive outcome like there was with Ted. This was another puppy, barely 3 months. The family loved him, but there were two young kids, and frankly, the mother thought the kids were too young to watch this little dog die. His name was Mishu, M-I-S-H-U. It was Polish for little bear. And the condition he had was well known and feared, tetralogy of Fallot. If that sounds familiar, it happens to human children. And to correct it in a human child now takes surgery that can last 12 hours. Jimmy Kimmel's son had tetralogy of Fallot. It's four major problems all in one heart. In dogs, there have been early experiments in surgery, but almost exclusively for bigger dogs. And to try to explain what's wrong, if you've ever seen the drawings of M.C. Escher, where the same staircase can go up and down at the same time as you look at it, that's more or less what a heart afflicted with tetralogy of Fallot looks like. There are arteries going over the heart, and there are others that take the oxygenated blood and pump it backwards in the wrong direction. In the middle of last August, Mishu arrived here. It is so easy to romanticize things like this, but there was, from the first, something magical about this little puppy. He was very, very sick. His tongue and his gums were not that healthy pink that you are familiar with if you've ever seen a dog once in your life. His tongue and gums were purple. He was tiny. He was dwarfed by my other three dogs. But he was surprisingly healthy. And he would start trouble with the other dogs. He would silently charge into Ted, or he'd go up and yap at Stevie, and soon he'd get all three of the other dogs of them playing and fighting, and then all the strength that he had would drain away, a minute tops, and he would have to sit down and watch the chaos he created, and he clearly loved watching the chaos he created, and he also clearly loved the dogs. If two of them were lying near each other but not right next together, Mishu would lie in the empty space so that his head would rest on one and his back paws would rest on the other. Soon they would respond to his presence by arranging themselves, cuddling together with a space for him. Once, I was stretched out, legs up on my couch, and the four of them climbed in, two by my feet and two by my knees. I called Mishu's name, and he turned and looked up at me, and then the four of them almost simultaneously fell asleep. Such a simple thing. Yet easily, one of the most extraordinary and wonderful moments of my entire life. And I prayed that night, and not for the last time, that if there was no miracle meant for Mishu, that at least when he left us, could he be in my arms. This dog was an athlete, bad heart or not. He just was one with no stamina. In the pen that I would keep him in for his own safety, especially when I had to go out, Mishu would get up on his hind legs and stand or try to get out, and once he did get out, he moved the walls of the pen. He got out of the cage. He broke free, and he trotted confidently around the place, and he loved to move and to run and to play, and he just had to stop early. Mishu also enjoyed food as much as any dog I had ever seen. He gained nearly a pound a month while he was with me. If you approached him with a treat, he would see it from across the room, and he would literally punch the air with one of his front paws and legs, like an athlete celebrating a success. and often with one paw, and then punch with the other paw, and the sheer joy of that never failed to make me smile and laugh. A 1-2 punch. Put him on his back next to you, and jab a finger at his paws, and you'd be in a boxing match with a 4-pound puppy who exulted in duking it out with you. You always knew, though, when the fight was over, Mish would simply stop throwing hands, paws, and he would simply take his front paws and grab your finger and hold on to it. He once did this for a solid minute. I have never felt more as if I were truly communicating with a dog than when he would hold my finger. He was an extraordinarily happy puppy, even when he felt bad physically. When he felt bad physically, those were the harrowing times. Mishu would be sitting on my lap or walking on the floor or just chilling with the other dogs when he would suddenly tense up and often let out a cry. And twice that cry was like that of a young human child. And it was so startling that the other dogs stopped and stared with what could genuinely be described as looks of alarm. Most times, the tensing was my cue to grab him and hold him tight as he writhed, because that inability to get oxygen to all the parts of his body would cause his body to contract. And if he was on any surface other than the ground, it could literally propel him to the floor. The first time he did that, my veterinarian was here, and she said, "You may have to take him to the emergency room right now." She said it was essentially what a dog does just before he faints. But then, within seconds, as it did that first time with the vet here, it would stop, and his body would relax, and he would be close to fine. It had taken something out of him. And then more or less by accident, I discovered that after one of these seizures, he seemed to be soothed if I would carry him and walk him around, gently rocking him in my arms and talking to him as I did so. Mishu and I solved a lot of the world's problems in those little walks out in the fresh air, on the balcony, or just around the house. He would often doze off, but just as often would, within minutes, be ready to start playing again. And so I had, in my little flock of lovely dogs, a sweet, wise, serene, playful puppy who liked to grasp my finger with his paws and loved everything about life. And he was dying. Well, I could not try to find out if there was something to be done to make his life longer or happier. What we tried to do when I resume the story of Mishu next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snakes. Zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Resuming now the story of my Maltese puppy, Mishu. His heart so bad that it pumped oxygenated blood the wrong way and limited him to brief bursts of energy. And how he never really knew how sick he was or that he had been dealt such a bad, tragic hand. And how he just took the life he was given and loved and was loved. Of course, I knew what sadness this was. This special soul trapped in a body that would betray him at any time and fatally. So I had to at least try to see if something could keep him here longer, or at least make him feel better. We went to see the city's top cardiologist for dogs, and there wasn't anything to do. Although he thought keeping the cans of a minute's worth of oxygen that you sometimes see football players breathing from on the sidelines, he thought those might help a little when he would have these little pre-faints. Soon I had dozens of those cans in a hall closet, and I was discussing building him an oxygen tent. But ultimately the problem wasn't his breathing. He was breathing fine. He got all the oxygen he would normally need. It was finding some way to get the oxygen pumped by his fatally flawed heart, to carry the oxygen in the blood around his body, and there was no way to do that. The median age of survival for dogs suffering from tetralogy of Fallot was just about 2 years. The cardiologist brought up Mishu's case on a board of international experts in canine cardiac care, and they agreed that, unfortunately, there was no chance he could survive any operation, let alone experimental surgery for this devastating malformation. He could not survive the anesthesia, let alone 6, 8, 10, 12 hours of surgery. Thus, the visits to the hospital turned out to be more about letting people there who I knew meet him and hold him. And I can tell you there was an extraordinary soothing quality to holding him. I heard it from these people again and again. What a special little soul. And he loved to be held. I took him everywhere they would let me take him. He was a regular at my weekly physical therapy for my arthritic joints. My therapist adored him. She would just hold him and tell him stories. Took him to the Apple Store once. That he did not like. He went for walks with me and the other dogs, but always in a bag draped over my shoulder. He did not have the stamina to walk for very long, but he enjoyed the outdoors, he enjoyed the park, he enjoyed the other dogs, he enjoyed the people who would come up and say hello to him. The inevitable finally came this time last year. Throughout the last week, the little pre-faints increased. But Mishu's happiness did not decrease. 2 days before the end, I approached him with a treat and my camera phone rolling, and sure enough, he punched with the left, and he punched with the right, and he ate the treat, and he licked his purple lips, and when I surprised him with a second treat, he did it all again. Sometime a year ago, I was sound asleep. The dogs sleep with me. And in my dreams, somebody or something was breathing in my ear. Well, of course, it was Mishu. He had figured out how to wake me. He had to go to the bathroom. He knew enough to tell me that.
He knew enough to wake me to get me to get him down. And he had to get some water. On the afternoon of the 12th of November, a year ago Saturday, I was holding Mishu in my lap as I sat and looked at the peak foliage in the park out the window. With no warning, he suddenly let out that near-human cry. The other dogs froze in place. I stood up and walked him around the balcony again. I had to sit him down in his pen for a second, and I was just picking him back up when he tensed up just like all the other times. His body got rigid and twisted. And he died. He died as I picked him back up. The special little soul was gone. His body was getting cold with stunning rapidity, and something inside me said, "No, not yet. I'm not ready. And I don't know why, but I don't think he's ready." And with no training and no earthly clue what I was doing, I tried CPR on him. You have to try. You have to try. I had so little idea what I was doing that after breathing air in and out of his lifeless body, I moved my face away as if I was going to spit out water before I had to remind myself, "No, moron, that would be if he was drowning." I must have done 5 or 6 breaths when I heard him exhale. I waited for it to stop or to be a false alarm. It wasn't. Damned if this little dog didn't somehow teach me how to resuscitate him. He was dead, and now he was back. I didn't delude myself that this was going to last very long. And the circumstances could not have been worse. It was a rush hour on a Friday afternoon, and there was a bottleneck and a bridge approach between Mishu and I and the hospital, and I had visions of being stuck in traffic for half an hour or longer and almost nothing they could do for him if we somehow got there in time. But you have to try. You have to try. I loaded a bag full of those cans of oxygen. I grabbed him. I got in the car. The driver realized my distress and asked me what he could do to help. And I said, "Don't run any lights, but do not stop unless you have to. And when you do stop, help me unwrap some of these plastic-wrapped oxygen cans. The oxygen cans are what are keeping him alive." Normal trip, 20 minutes. We made it in 11 minutes. The streets parted for Mishu. At the Animal Medical Center, somehow, I ran up the stairs. I handed him off to the emergency room doctor, saying with an evenness I could not believe I was mustering, "My dog is dying. He has tetralogy of Fallot." She ran off with him to an examining room, and a second doctor came out, and I briefed her on everything, including Mishu's human-like cry and his unexpected resuscitation. And I told her he had been seen by the chief cardiologist there. And she said, "Dr. Fox? Dr. Fox is here." And now Mishu was being worked on by the expert in the field. And despite all of this good fortune, I knew there was no hope. I had managed to text Sue from the Maltese Rescue, who adored him. And she came to the hospital. And 3 of the people from other departments in the hospital who had met Mishu came down to see him. Not for my sake, for his. It was heartbreaking and heartwarming at the same time. And when his doctor came to me and said he is alive, but if you take him out of the hospital, you'd get about as far as the parking garage, and then you'd have to bring him back because what you heard when he cried out was a stroke. The oxygen deprivation was finally too much for him. He had a stroke. And he began to gently prepare me for the question about letting him go. And I stopped him. And I said, "I know we've all done everything we can. Mishu especially. I'm ready when you are." So they brought him back to me. a little drip attached to his arm, and when the toggle on the drip was thrown, the medication would end his life. He was as warm and as soft as ever in my arms. And yet I knew he was no longer there. Sue held him for a while, too. And then everybody left me alone with him. I said what you would expect somebody to say in such a circumstance about love and happiness. And then I heard myself saying things about gratitude. Gratitude to him for teaching me that in the face of death, the point is to know when to try and when to say enough, and that he had taught me how to confront death and crisis and urgency with evenness and practicality that I never knew I had in any quantity whatsoever, and to be able to say, I know you had a happy life, Mishu, and it seems like that, and not the fact that you had a happy life, but not a long one. The happy life is all that mattered to you. The cardiologist, Dr. Fox, and the tech came back into the room at this point, and I said I was ready. And they turned the toggle and left very quietly. And I said to Mishu, I know if there is a place for you to go now, I am certain you will be the first one they let in. I just hope they will let me visit you there someday. And I hope you will remember us. I said, good night, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. And he was gone. Again, as I had prayed, when he died, Mishu died in my arms. And he managed somehow to do it twice. There are some postscripts. Mishu's cardiologist very solemnly returned and respectfully said that of those international experts who had reviewed his case and were deeply saddened that they could not help him, only two out of a couple of dozen had actually seen and been able to study any small dog suffering from tetralogy of Fallot, and Mishu might have one final blessing for them and the rest of us if they could keep and study his poor little malformed heart. Without hesitation, I said yes, because in that instance, I saw him positioning his head on Stevie's head and his back paws on Rose's back paws, so the three of them were cuddling together, and I knew, as I had always known, this was a dog who cared about and actually loved other dogs. So the hospital wound up recalibrating some of the cameras they had that they used to photograph the smallest teeth in the smallest dogs so they could get every imaginable image of Mishu's tiny heart and maybe someday learn methods with which to fix this nightmare in another dog. And Mishu is in the veterinary textbooks now. As a second postscript, Mishu's parents had another litter late last year after he died, and their human was kind enough to offer me either of the brothers Mishu would never know. Each was eerily reminiscent of him, but healthy, completely healthy, so healthy that they were threats to my other three dogs. I had each of them live a week with us, and I would have been fine with each other. They liked me fine, but each of them first bit Ted in the genitals, and then Stevie in the genitals, and Rose in the genitals, and in one case, me in the genitals. They were crazy. Fun, but crazy. And the second one was not only twice as large as other Maltese his age, he was able to vault out of his pen like an Olympic gymnast. So they went back and now have their own homes
where they are the only dogs in their own homes. So, the third postscript. When Sue from Maltese Rescue reached out again this past June and said, I've got another special case, 15-year-old. Perfect health, but rotting teeth, and he has dementia. His human got sick and didn't really take care of him, and then she died. And I don't know what to do. Who's going to adopt a 15-year-old? I was able to raise my hand. I had an open roster spot. The 15-year-old's name is Minet. It's French for kitty. I can't imagine what confusion that's caused him all these years. His human had been a French teacher. He actually didn't have dementia, or at least not very much dementia. It was those teeth. His teeth were so bad, so rotten, some of them came out by just pulling on them with your fingers. So we had them all taken out. And the next day, he woke up like he was 7 years old, looked around like, how long have these other dogs been here? Every day since then, he's gotten a little younger. He's Benjamin Button. And he's a living instruction. Look out for your dog's teeth. Even if you think you know to do that, do it more. The last postscript. I got the tattoo a month after Mishu died. His pensive, half-smiling little face looks up at me from near the crook of my elbow where he used to sit when I would carry him around after one of those pre-faints. It is a remarkable likeness. To me, it means exactly what you would think it means. It comforts me greatly. It means Mishu is always with me. And always will be with me. And now, as this unwanted but not tragic anniversary approaches, Mishu will also, I hope, always be with you. I'm taking the holiday off. There'll be a new episode Monday. Thank you. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.